Q&A first. Just get started on the Q&A. Well, it's obviously, you value your food and your fellowship higher than you value the wisdom of the three wise men, because we're having to cut them short. We've still got all the questions here. In order to get every question dealt with, I've decided that they're going to have one-word answers, or one sentence. Certainly not a paragraph, and certainly not, in David's case, a whole essay. Right. So we're not going to have whole speeches here. So first question. I'm trying to find a question where you can actually have a one-word answer. unfortunately, they all seem to be directed towards David. So, oh, here we go. Right. Should Christians put themselves up for public office? One word answer.
For if the Lord tells you so.
There you go. Do either of you have a different answer to that?
Why not?
Why not? Okay, you've all got the same answer to that one. Okay. If the Lord directs. In view of what you have said, should we vote?
If the Lord tells you so.
Yeah, what do you want?
There is a one-word answer to that. It's Brexit.
Brexit.
Living the life.
Since your study, since your study on Kingdom of God and Heaven, how has this changed your understanding on dispensationalism? Oh, how exciting is that?
How many weeks?
One sentence.
I would say it hasn't moderated it. I think I was always a moderate dispensationalist. There's extremes of it. But we've been talking about this between us, and we actually all have the same opinion about the unfolding of God's plan, which follows dispensations. The only change I've really had to make is thinking more about the kingdom of God taking place in our lives here and now, rather than it all being in the future. So, yes, I have changed in that respect.
Okay. Well, the question is not for you two, so you can get out of that. So. What should current songs be about, if not about the King?
The rest of the New Testament.
There must
be songs we can sing about our great High Priest, and about him having entered. And some of them do, of course, touch on that. He's entered once into the holy place to make atonement for us. We have freedom of access, and a lot of these themes do come out. But it just always seems to be we praise him. I mean, the old hymns, "Praise My Soul, the King of Heaven." I mean, I love that hymn. And I love the modern one, "Jesus is King and I will extol him." And Wendy Churchill, in that one, does go into, "We come to him, our priest and apostle." And she does cover a number of different aspects. But, you know, and I know one song when the chorus is repeated 19 times, and it's all about the King. You know, and Jesus said, "I've called you friends, you're no longer servants." You know, we're his friends. There's an intimacy there. And King is sort of up there somewhere. And we're down here somewhere. We're the plebs, you know. But we're intimate. There's an intimate relationship. And it's all just the wrong emphasis. But a lot of the songs, you know, a lot of songs do cover these other things.
Ish. One-word answer, ish.
There are a number of expressions which are actually not used in the New Testament. I'm sure a few of them will come to mind immediately, like Trinity. Jesus is King. Is he not? He may not be referred to it very often, but he is King. Almighty God is Almighty God, but he's also Abba Father. So I think we can have both. Maybe what you're referring to is perhaps there are too many kings in the songs.
Just too much.
But I don't think we can do away with an obvious definition, because as you taught, he came back with King of Kings. And that was before he established the kingdom, because that's when he's coming back. So clearly he's king now. Yes, songs can have different emphasis.
I think we could have some good songs on the cross. That's always good. Dig into the Psalms and find out what their themes are, and write songs on that. Let's just stop having songs that begin I all the time. Please, it's a modern trend. Let's put God at the centre of all our singing. Because people learn their theology now through songs, don't they, largely? They enjoy that more than the Bible in some ways. So if you can write songs with good theology in it, even better.
Okay. What about the Trinity? Christ has made the sure foundation, consubstantial, co-eternal, ever blessed, three in one. You don't get those phrases in modern songs, do you?
Right, you've overstated welcome on that question. So, in respect of the kingdom, to whom does the world belong, God or Satan, prior to Jesus' return?
If you go through those Old Testament verses, the world belongs to God entirely. Satan is a pretender. He's a usurper. He has authority, but it's a usurped authority. And he is flying in the face of God, as it were. So he is, however, the God of this world, which means he's the object of the world's worship. So anybody who's not worshipping the Lord Jesus Christ is, by default, a worshipper of Satan. Not satanic as we understand it, necessarily. Well, they're under his power. But you, yourself, decide whether or not the kingdom of God comes in your life, so who you are, for whom are you living, or who you're allowing to influence you. He's the prince of this world. Prince, notice, not king. Prince of this world. The prince of the power of the air. He has a sphere, but he's only entirely, completely under God's control. What I was saying there is this Platonic idea of dualism, where there are two forces of good and evil in the world, and they're equally and oppositely opposed, and there's going to be some doubt as to which is going to win, good or evil. That's the Platonic thinking. Mm. Yeah, Satan is a defeated enemy.
Yes.
Defeated at the cross. Well, he was defeated when he was thrown out of heaven, whenever that was, wasn't he? the Lord said, heaven is my throne and the earth is my footstool. It's his. The earth is the Lord's and the fullness of the world. Who is this King of Glory? The Lord of Hosts. He is the King of Glory. Sorry, just going back to hymns quickly. I was going to say, I've got a Brethren hymn book of 850 hymns that doesn't mention King once.
Well, there's an answer to that, but I wouldn't.
Right, moving on. David again. Please explain your comments. The sign above Yeshua's head at the crucifixion said, King of the Jews, he was only that to the Gentiles. You made that comment, apparently.
Yeah, he was only called, he was only called King of the Jews by Gentiles. That title is never used by any Israelites. Just a Gentile description. There's a hint there. If you go back to Esther, the name of Yahweh, the Tetragrammaton, occurs throughout the book of Esther, but never in the mouth of a Gentile. You know, it's just the distinction there between what God allows people to say. But I can't think of a word I want. It was an insult. Calling him King of the Jews was an insult. But
that's
say
why they wanted changed.
Precisely. But they wanted to say, don't say he was the King of the Jews, but he said he was the King of the Jews. But Nathaniel sees Jesus. Jesus talks to him and says, you are the Messiah. You are the King of Israel. Nathaniel, that's one instance. There are others, but yes, it was.
Okay. Last one. These two were not on post-it notes, so they disqualify. They're too long. I haven't got time, I'm afraid. Okay, this is probably good for all three of you. Jewish thinking starts with the concept, the verb, and adds the nouns. We work the other way round. How does this confuse and corrupt our attempts to understand Scripture? Silenced him. Have you ever seen him silenced?
On the contrary. It seems to me that if we understand Scripture from a non-action point of view, we misunderstand Scripture. You know, But that's what the whole book of James is about. You know, if you say you have faith, but you have no fruit, what kind of faith is that? And what is the love of God about? It's not that God so loved the world that he gave his son. The right translation is like this. This is how God loved the world. He gave his son. The love of God is a love of action. It's not a love of, oh, you poor thing. No, here's my cloak. It's agape love is love in action, not just, you know, sort of pink fluffy cloud stuff. Does that answer the question? Yeah,
that's a surprise.
That's a rare thing.
It's a very good question, let's put it like that, and it does make you think about it. It's a matter of translation sometimes, isn't it? If Hebrew puts the verb first, but we don't, then we can't translate it in that way, otherwise we wouldn't be able to read it very well. So it might say, judge to the king, so I'd use king again, but it is the king judged, but we would have to turn it round. But we just have to get our mindset into the action side of it and put that at the head of our understanding and interpretation, I guess, the best we can. So, it's a good point, I think. We just got to bear it in mind whenever we're reading any particular translation.
I think this is one for Steve.
Yeah, but that's true. No. Well, actually, it was many books ago, and I can't remember what I wrote. So if anyone's read Hebraic Church, maybe they can explain it better than I can. But oh no, no, it's in God's signature. There you go. Yeah. Yeah, just Hebrew being a very dynamic language, a language of action, activity, process. It's getting its form and function. It's a language of function, and we've concentrated on forms, nouns. English is very noun orientated, and Hebrew is very verb orientated, and because our mindset has changed from verb to noun, then when we look at Hebrew, we tend to miss out on the verb aspects, and obviously a verb is a doing thing, yeah. So we miss out on the doing stuff, and we concentrate on the knowledge and the descriptions and people's names and, you know, stuff that you could excel at Bible quizzes. And that seems to be, a lot of Christians are very proud of their knowledge, that they know what the 12th king after David is, and you know, it makes them a great Christian because they've got, but you know, they're no good at the verbs and doing stuff. So that's the answer from someone sort of two or three levels down from these three, you know. So I think we'll probably have to leave it at that, because just to get back on schedule, because I know you've got a sort of program for tonight. So, did you want to? I know we've got some notices first. Michael's got some notices. So I think you three can you're dismissed.
Thank you very much.